like to give people an update, particularly for the resident community, about the properties across the road. Large house and the small bungalow that are being offered to us. So the current state of play is that the contracts are due to be exchanged tomorrow. The first part of the donation for the purchase of the property arrived this week, which is the largest single donation ever to arrive in to be given to the Sangha, and the rest of it, which will be even larger, should be coming next week. And so then the exchange of contracts will be this Friday, and then the completion, then don't happen at the same time, should be on December the 10th. So that lands just on the last day that Lumpur Sumato should be here. So if things go well, we'll be able to give him a full tour of the property and be able to let him have a really good look around it. I've mentioned to a few people that when a few weeks ago, when I was talking to Lumpur Sumato on the phone and letting him know about this very generous offer for the community, he said, to my surprise, he said, "I've had my eye on that property for years," which is interesting and also encouraging and very pleasing. So that's always looking like it's taking shape in a good way. And so, of course, our life doesn't revolve around material objects and owning things, but in terms of the support for the community and the facility this will give us as a resident sangha and the lay community, the monastics here, it allows a lot more flexibility in how we can live here and also how we can carry out the long-term development plan as we slowly replace the current old wooden buildings. This building is nearly 80 years old. It's built in 1939. And so the plan to replace the old energy inefficient buildings with energy efficient ones, can be facilitated in a very good way by having these extra buildings across the road. Also, there's about 6 acres of land, the fields that go with it, that go right next to our woods. So that's also the prospect of planting that up with some trees and also creating a bit of overflow parking for festival days and such like. So we still have many plans to make. A lot of discussions and meetings will be happening over the next little while. This offering has been made in a very short period of time, so that there's a lot of discussion that needs to happen in terms of exactly how the land and the buildings and how the replanting might take place and such like. But I just wanted to let the community know that things are taking shape in a good way so far. Of course, everything is uncertain. You never really know. But that's how it looks at the moment. Did we have any other announcements to make today? Lumpur Sumato arrived at Chithurst yesterday, and so that's the first part of that plan for Lumpur's visit is going well. So he should be there at Chithurst in West Sussex for 1 week, and then arriving here on the 27th. We don't know whether it's the morning or the afternoon. Speaking with Lumpur and his secretary, attendant Ajahn Asoko, they were very clear they wanted to leave things very unplanned, and so there's no fixed events or dates for Lumpur to be doing anything in particular here. Apart from he agreed that he would be happy to be present for the monk's ordination ceremony on December the 9th. Other than that, it's a completely open calendar, so we're not sure exactly what we'll arrange, but he wanted to keep it flexible, and so that's the way it's been done. So once he's here, then we'll figure out what he'd like to do and what can be offered for the monastic community, the lay community, visitors and guests, and so forth. So he's in good health and very good spirits. Some of our Sangha members were with him in Portugal. He was there for about 3 weeks at Sumatarama, and they cunningly called their monastery after him. So he was almost guaranteed a visit. Yeah. Whether Ajahn Vajiro had any kind any kind of plot in mind when he chose the name, I'm not sure. I don't know. I wouldn't accuse him of any kind of subterfuge, any kind of sneakiness. But it was a good idea, and also extremely suitable that the name for Lumpur Cha that he was given when he was granted a Chalkun title was Bodhinyana. So we've got quite a few Bodhinyana monasteries, but I think it was actually very beautiful, very lovely gesture, very suitable of Ajahn Vajiro to name the place in Portugal after Lumpur Sumedho, since he was really the founder and the spiritual father of all of our communities here in the West. So that's a very even though I joke about it a little bit, I also feel it's a very beautiful and suitable thing to do. So that's the plan, and then Lumpur should be here from the 27th until December the 11th, and then the plan is that he and I and Ajahn Soko will fly off to Thailand, and so it'll be the end of his visit. So he should be here for a total of about 2 weeks. Oh, one of the things, Lumpur getting older and his faculties waning is he doesn't have so much energy as he used to. He often has had different illnesses and ailments to deal with nowadays. And one of the ways that we can look at that is, oh, how unfortunate, this is really sad, it didn't used to be this way, and look upon those changes with an attitude of loss or disappointment or sadness. But I feel that it's a very good opportunity for all of us to be reflecting on that quality of our own lives, and how also it's not something that's a mistake or something going wrong, but this is nature taking its course. The body gets older, it gets less mobile, the ears don't work so well, the eyes don't work so well, the legs don't work so well. That's natural. That's part of the way that life works. So where is the wrongness? Where is the it shouldn't be this way-ness? It's how nature works. So just like we now we have the autumn, the first frosty day. The leaves are mostly falling off the trees. The branches are bare. The temperatures drop right down. Is there something wrong with this? Of course not. It's autumn. It's the winter coming on. It's just how nature works. So this is a really powerful and useful teaching, and something that Lumpur Cha stressed both in his teaching and also with his own aging and ailing. He was about the age I am when his health started to fail quite seriously in his early 60s. And then he, when he visited England in 1979, England and the USA, he was younger than I am. He was 61. It was 1979. He was 61 years old, and even on that trip, he could feel that things were waning, and his strength was fading, and he had a lot of say challenges to work with in terms of being mobile and active and engaging as a teacher. Just down at Chitta's talking with Ajahn Manindo down there, he reminded me of a comment of Lumpur's when Lumpur Cha was talking about this. He said, "Yeah, it's really funny. I mean to say, come here, Sumedho," and I find myself saying, "Come here, Anando." I knew I meant to say Sumedho, but Anando was what came out of my mouth. Look at that. So he could see that his internal wiring was not functioning as it, quote unquote, should, as it used to. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean to say Sumedho, and I say Anando. Ah. And then as the brain functions got more and more compromised and working less well, then the things that he would say would be even less of a close match to what he was thinking. And as I've often quoted him saying, his comment about it was, he said, "The monkeys are playing around in the telephone exchange." So if you remember back in the old days, us 60-somethings will remember. There used to be telephone exchange. When you made a long-distance call, there used to be an actual human being who would receive your call and then connect it with a wire and a plug into a socket to a line that would take it to a different country or different part of the world. And that was called a telephone exchange. And so that his image of the telephone exchange has been taken over by a crowd of monkeys, and they're pulling the wires out of one socket and plugging them into some other random socket so that the calls are being directed. You know, you're trying to call Germany and your call's going to Mexico, or you're trying to call Thailand and it's going to Canada instead. So that was his internal image. He knew what he wanted to say, but the wrong thing would come out. But his attitude was, oh, look at that, that's interesting. I mean to say, come here, Sumedho, and what arrives is, come here, Anando. Oh. And so for all of us, and for myself, you know, that I'm not exempt from that same kind of mental challenges. It's just recently I had a very, very full schedule, rather like trying to squish more things into a suitcase than can really fit in there, or try to put 5 gigabytes of information onto a 4 gigabyte thumb drive. Disk full. Your file is full. There's not enough room. It just finding myself forgetting things, or being in meetings and just sort of losing the track of what people are saying, and having to work, you know, extra hard to keep track of what appointments I have or what time I'm supposed to see people. That rather than thinking, oh dear, I'm losing it, or it's all falling apart, the skillful way to relate to those things is, oh, well, I guess I'm pretty tired, or that things are not working at the moment as well as they used to. Okay, pay attention to that. But look at that. This is the law of anicca. This is the law of uncertainty in operation. And if we're skillful, rather than thinking of that as a disaster or a problem or something that shouldn't be that way, then we shift the attitude. We change the attitude so that the practice becomes not, I've got to have things in a certain way, I've got to be able to see clearly, to hear clearly, to walk effectively, to be able to remember everything, to have a sit down, concentrate my mind, and have a clear focus of attention, and practice according to my program, and then call that good practice. Rather, I would say good practice is the quality of attitude, the openness of attitude to know how things are when they're orderly and work in a coordinated and fluid, functional way, and when they don't. When you're feeling agitated or you're confused, you can't remember things, or you're feeling really sad or upset. Again, if you look at Lumpo Tao's teachings, listen to his Dhamma talks, over and over again, he points to the fact of, you know, if you're angry, then you practice with anger. If you're confused, you practice with confusion. If you're sick, you practice with sickness. Don't wait for the sickness to end before you can, quote unquote, practice. It's that we practice with what's present, even if what's present is, I don't know what's going on. I can't even remember my name today. That's what we practice with, and so that then, in that sense, we develop the heart that is unshakable, that is genuinely invulnerable. That quality of awareness is, say, something that is dependable, is unshakable, that is reliable. Because the mind that knows confusion is not confused. The mind that knows unhappiness is not unhappy. The mind that knows happiness is not happy. That quality of awareness is independent of the mind states and perceptions that are experienced. So that's why it's the genuine refuge. And so that rather than waiting for perfect conditions to arrive so we can practice properly or have a good practice, sometimes when things are really difficult, when we have a conflict, we have an argument with someone, or we have an illness, or we have an injury, we have a death in the family, and there's something that we would never choose. The ability of the mind to say, receive that, to know that, say, oh, this is the feeling of being in conflict, this is the feeling of loss, this is the feeling of sadness. It's this way, this is the way it is. Then in that moment, the tone of the feeling, of the emotion is there. The tone of the experience, the perception is there. But the heart is completely attuned to it. There's no wrongness being given to it. There's no attitude of it shouldn't be this way, or even waiting for it to be over. the heart is fully attuned to the way things are, like being open to the frosty, cold, bare, wintry morning, that here it is, it's this way. And that that's where we find peace, that's where we find liberation, that's where we find a genuine stability in our lives. So I offer these thoughts for reflection this morning.